Hi, my name is Lauren Jingles.
And I'm Megan McGarvey.
And this is our final project for BMEN 2000.
Our discussion today is going to be about cochlear implants.
So for 50 years, cochlear implants have been changing the lives of hundreds of thousands of deaf and hard of hearing people worldwide.
There are many different forms to deal with people that are hard of hearing to allow them to hear some more sounds such as hearing aids. But some people can't use hearing aids, so the way to go is with cochlear implants.
And those cochlear implants help because those who have hearing loss have lost their tiny hairs in their inner ear, meaning they cannot translate vibration into sound, and that's where the cochlear implant comes in.
There's been a lot of research and a lot of work into developing cochlear implants. However, there's still a lot of improvements that can be made.
So throughout this final project, we're going to be talking about not only how cochlear implants work, but some of the advantages and disadvantages of the cochlear implant.
We will also be taking a look at some of the alternative solutions, such as, and then also some future perspectives and some of the ways and the advancements that can be made further into the future.
And while we understand that cochlear implants are not a life or death situation, with so many people in the world suffering from hearing loss, it is important that we place this at a high priority to help them feel more comfortable. When we talk about the cochlear implant, we first have to understand how exactly hearing loss works. So for most people, we are born with microscopic hairs inside of our ear. These hairs help us process sound, and the sound is translated by neurons inside the spiral ganglion. However, for those suffering from hearing loss or who were born deaf, they are lacking those hairs located inside the inner ear and therefore have a harder time processing and understanding sound. So now we have to look at how the cochlear implant works. So inside of our ear, where the spiral ganglion is located, there is the cochlea, a spiral-shaped chamber of hollow bone where the electrodes are actually inserted. So, there are two types of approaches to cochlear implants and how they are inserted. The first is a straight lateral approach and a spiral lateral approach. The straight lateral approach array involves the insertion of a thin string of electrodes which are inserted into the ear. The electrodes are not inserted too deeply, which leads us into the advantages and disadvantages of this approach. For the straight lateral approach, because it's not inserted deeply into the ear, patients with this type of cochlear implant typically have a harder time processing and understanding sound on a more natural level. This leads them to have to get speech therapy and take their time to fully communicate with those who are hearing, as the way they hear may sound a bit different. Now, we have to look at the second approach, which is the spiral lateral approach. This approach also involves a string of electrodes. However, these electrodes are much thicker. The spiral approach involves a string of electrodes which are already pre-shapen for the ear. However, it's a one-size-fits-all for this case, meaning that multiple patients are typically left uncomfortable as the electrodes are either too big or too small to fully penetrate their ear. So, while these electrodes are inserted deeper into the ear, they do help with the processing of sound. Researchers believe that the closer the electrodes are to the spiral ganglion, the more natural the sound will come across to those who are suffering from hearing loss. However, the issue is that although they might be understanding sound a bit more naturally, they are causing trauma to the ear. Because these electrodes are not exactly the perfect fit for everyone, it can cause a lot of trauma. This trauma can come up again as the cochlear implant will either have to be replaced or removed altogether before they would be allowed to get another one. Now, although it seems that there are only two approaches, scientists have pretty much stopped looking for an answer. They are stuck in the way that it's either option A, the straight lateral approach, or option B, the spiral lateral approach. However, some engineers are not satisfied with accepting the bare minimum and are looking toward future prospects to help those patients suffering from hearing loss help not only understand sound naturally, but not be placed in trauma. Therefore, researchers and engineers are looking towards the future, especially in regards to stem cells.
The main problem that researchers and scientists are trying to solve is the electrode-to-neuron gap. Current electrodes and neurons do not fit perfectly with each other, which causes auditory signals and sounds to differ from those who have not experienced hearing loss. The electrodes that are used today are still fairly large for the neurons in our brain and still do not penetrate deeply enough to make a complete connection. One alternative solution is to create penetrating electrodes that will allow for electrodes to be placed closer to the neurons, creating a better connection and in turn better auditory sounds. Though this seems like a promising technology, since its introduction, it has since been terminated due to a lot more research that is needed. Another solution to the electrode-neuron gap is through the use of stem cells. When discussing stem cells, there are two main types that we're going to focus on. The two types of stem cells that are being researched and used today are embryonic stem cells and adult stem cells. Today, we'll be focusing on the former. Embryonic stem cells are harvested from embryos that have not made it to term, and these stem cells are much better at adapting and growing into other cells, whereas adult stem cells are harvested from specific tissue, and they are less receptive to growing into other cells besides those that they were harvested from. With this being the case, embryonic stem cells are more promising for our research and for the future of cochlear implants. There are two current solutions to electrode-to-neuron connection problems that involve the use of stem cells. One solution is to coat the electrodes in stem cells, and then the second solution is to inject stem cells into the brain. Through both solutions, the stem cells allow for the neurons to come closer to the electrodes, creating a better and more realistic sound. Though stem cell research is still very new, there are some examples showing that they are a very promising solution to hearing loss. One example can be seen with a hamster that experienced hearing loss, and then it had stem cells injected into it, and there was clear improvement in its hearing. This example shows the use of stem cells to help improve hearing in a mammal, which can be translated to humans. Along with that, with the use of stem cells, and the way of creating a better connection between the electrodes and the neurons, this will create a better auditory response, meaning a better quality of sound for those who currently have little to none. While stem cells are very promising, the last topic of discussion is about the issues related to stem cells. The major concern is due to the fact that they grow very rapidly, mimicking that of cancer cells, which causes the body to either attack the healthy cells or even develop cancer due to the fact that it believes it already has cancer. This is a major setback in the research and the use of stem cells, but with further development and further research, they can not only overcome this, but they can also begin to further develop stem cells that can be used specifically for the use of hearing loss and specifically for those patients who are looking to improve the use of their cochlear implants.
In our final project, we have gone over not only how hearing loss works, but how cochlear implant has been a good area of treatment for those suffering from hearing loss. And we can see that although cochlear implants do help the lives of those suffering from hearing loss, as they're able to understand and translate sound more easily, there are quite a few disadvantages which we have touched on. The fact that cochlear implants right now are still either producing a too electronic sound or they're penetrating too deeply in the inner ear, we can see are starting to cause problems for the patients. And we do have to look forward to the future on solutions.
As previously mentioned, there are multiple alternative solutions to the electrode-to-neuron gap that we are currently facing with cochlear implants. As previously mentioned, some of these alternative solutions include the penetrating electrodes, those that will penetrate deeper into the brain, causing a better connection with the neurons. However, the future does lie in stem cell research. Though there's been a lot of research done on the topic of stem cells, there's still a lot that needs to be done in the future. We also need to have a better focus and a better understanding on making a connection between technology and biology, such as the electrodes and then the neurons of the brain. We hope you've all enjoyed listening and learning more about cochlear implant research and how it has changed and how it will continue to change in the future. Thank you.